This morning, we have the privilege of having a young man speak to us who was working overseas for a while. And so I'm going to invite Shane Cornelson up.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor and a privilege to be able to do this on the stage. Before, I would just do it over a video. And then for security reasons, we couldn't have the video playing during the live stream, which meant that I couldn't watch it either. So I would be watching the service, ready to see myself, and then it would just cut and be like, for security reasons, we cannot show this. And I was like, oh, I wanted to see it. So my name is Shane Cornelson. If you're Mennonite, you want my whole genealogy. I'm the son of Reynold and Eva Cornelson, and I could probably keep going, and then we'd probably fit all of you into my family, but I'll stop right there for now. I want to, first of all, just thank all of you for the support, the prayer. These are, you know, looking back, being overseas and living on my own for the first time in my life, and doing a lot of things for the first time. It was tough, but just knowing I had a church back home that was praying for me and that was supporting me was something that I'll never forget. And I think that prayer is just such an important part of ministry, right? And so I don't even want to know what it would have been like without prayer. I also want to thank all of you for the church was supporting me financially, and that means all of you, and so I want to thank all of you for that as well, because that was such a huge blessing. You can throw up the first pictures. I'll throw up a few pictures here and there to kind of give you an idea of where I was, and for security reasons, I will probably not be saying the exact country or location of where I was, but if you know any geography, it probably won't be too hard to figure out, since this is one of the wonders of the world. This was actually a picture taken when I was blessed to have my sister and two of my good cousins come, and I rented a car, and we drove through the desert, and we went to this place, and that was a lot of fun. Driving in the Middle East was always interesting. So today I want to kind of give a small report of what I was kind of doing out there, how I saw God working, and some things I maybe struggled with, and some things that I felt blessed with, and also just to encourage you guys forward as a church and ministry, because there's many things to learn. So this was the first time I'd ever flown by myself, actually, and it wasn't until I was in Turkey and I'm going on a two-hour flight to my final destination that I realized, I see the map on my chair, and I'm thinking, like, oh, that's cool, a map. And then I start pinching it out, I'm like, oh, we're pretty far, aren't we? And then I keep pinching out, I'm like, I can't even see Canada yet. Where am I? And then, yeah, so that was crazy. My first introduction to the society was them losing my bags. And so that was a great introduction. I'd come there, it was around midnight, and I'm looking for my bags. I'd gotten one or two of them, but all of my shirts were in this other bag, and that one wasn't showing up. And so I go up to this one guy, and he speaks maybe five words of English, and I speak maybe five words of Arabic, and we're trying to have a conversation and figure this out. And for the next 3 hours, I'm talking with different people, and I found that this culture is very helpful, even when they're not very helpful. And they sent me around for like 3 hours to different people, checking the back, looking for it, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, I'll bring you to this guy. So I come to this guy after 3 hours. He speaks perfect English. He says, give me the number of your bag, where you're going to be staying, and I'll send it to you in 2 days. That was kind of my introduction to the culture, but I grew to love it. We can probably move to the second picture here. Okay, so this is not exactly where I live. This was kind of outside of where I live, but this is kind of an idea of the place where I was living. It was quite a new culture, quite a new area for a lot of you that live in Aarberg. This is a bit bigger than Aarberg. I'm sure all of us could fit in one of the apartments. And in the middle there, you'll see a mosque, and in that mosque was where they would have every five times a day, they would have the call to prayer going. Luckily, I got used to it, but the 5 a.m. call to prayer was sometimes a bit annoying at night, because my window was facing one of them, and they would just blast the prayer at me. And so I knew it was time to pray, but knew I wanted to sleep. But it was such a cool opportunity to grow and love this new culture and to come with a sense of, like, I don't know everything, and it's very easy to come and kind of with your ideas that I know everything and that I, you know, come from a Town of Arbourg, you know, it's so cool there. And I'm going to teach all of you how to be like me. But I wanted to come there saying, I want you to teach me. I want to learn from you guys, because you guys have so many things to share with me. Even though they may believe in something else, there's still things that we can learn from that. Because there's sometimes in our trying to follow God, we can turn into, make things religious, and make things cultural, take cultural things and then put it into what we believe in God when those things aren't even biblical. And so I had a good chance of just learning, what was it like to be a Christian in this part of the world? What was it like to be a Muslim in this part of the world? Maybe for a lot of you that don't know exactly what they believe in, I'll give a quick kind of rundown of what they believe in. It's actually quite similar in a sense to what we believe in. They believe in a lot of the same prophets. They believe in a lot of the same stories. And they would even say that the Bible was true, but it was corrupted over the time, and that's why they needed the new book called the Quran. And so they kind of have, so often I would chat with them, and we would talk about the prophets, and we would both agree about all the miracles that they'd done. And they would even say just how amazing Jesus was. He was so cool, like all the miracles he did. But what they didn't believe was that we could go to heaven because Jesus died for his sins. They didn't believe that Jesus died at all. They believed he was just a prophet. And so it was something that was sometimes very difficult for me because, in a sense, they were so close to believing the same thing that we did, yet so far because they'd taken the one thing that brings us salvation and they'd thrown that away. And so often when we'd have conversations, that was kind of where the conversation would end because we could agree on so many good things, the prophets, the stories, the amazing things that God had done. But when it came to Jesus, often that was a bit of an interesting conversation. Some of the difficulties of living this new culture was definitely the language. So I'd come in there and I'd learned a bit of the language. And it was enough to kind of get around and order some food in a very broken way. But it was very tiring because whenever you'd leave the house, it wasn't like you could just leave the house and turn off your brain and speak English. I had to turn on my brain and then I had to try and wave down a taxi and then try to explain where I wanted to go. And so it was quite tiring, but it was something that was also quite humbling as I was like a little child with the way I spoke. And often that would mean people laugh or I would just kind of be standing there like, I don't know what to say. But it was something that was very humbling for me. Another thing I wanted to kind of share of in the arrival part was, so I didn't actually know, I knew, and I kind of talked with the team that I was joining, which was a huge blessing, this team. And I'll go a bit over the dynamics of how we kind of did team life. But I actually had no idea where I was going to live. So I'm on this plane, and I have no idea where I'm going to live. I was told that I would live with one of the guys that I'd never met, and I thought, that's cool. Never met this guy. Hopefully he's cool. He was, so praise the Lord. But I remember that coming out of the 3 hours of just trying to find my bag, and then I'm like, hello, who am I living with? And the first few weeks felt like a blur because it was just, it was a crazy experience for me, and then having to kind of start Arabic and all that stuff. And so, yeah, I think we can go over the next picture. So here's another picture of a mosque and how they would come in and they'd pray in there usually after the prayer call would go. It was such an honor to have this team as a blessing, and a lot of them felt like family members, and so it was very difficult for me to come home. Even though I'm so blessed to be home with this family, I felt like I had grown a family out there, and I think that's such a blessing when we can think about, you know, the idea of leaving a place and having to be sad about the people that you're leaving was such a blessing because it means that God had put good people in my life. And so, yeah, although it was difficult, I was very thankful to God for the people that he put there. The team dynamics, how we did it, once a week we'd meet together as a team and we'd pray over kind of the region, over the people, that just for different things, and then we'd pray over each other, our needs. And it was just a great way to bless our community because prayer is so powerful. Every other Saturday, then we would meet together, and we would usually we would have a supper. We would play some games, and my team leader had 4 boys, and they were always running around playing soccer, yelling, and that was so much fun to hang out with them. And then we would take turns doing a different sermon for each other, and we worship together. And so the idea was that, you know, we're working as a team, but it can be kind of difficult when we're a different culture. And so to come together in prayer and worship and just community was something that I learned to be just so important. And I think that as a church, we get to do this, right? And I think that's just so awesome. And so I love the idea of small groups and being able to do that kind of stuff. Yeah, and then we also had a cool opportunity. Some of my teammates got to go up north, close to the border, where there was kind of being a war in that country, and we got to do some work with the refugees there and to just kind of bring them food. We had a believer who was there in that small town where we were, and she was kind of in charge of like getting food and everything. So it was kind of nice having a local in charge, and we just kind of came and kind of followed what she would tell us to do. And we would sit there and we would play games with their kids. A lot of them would just be ladies with kids because their husbands had left during the war or something else. And we got chances to share just simple stories in Arabic of Jesus. And the kids loved it and the ladies loved it. And it was something that we could just encourage them. And they always would wait for the next time we would come over because they didn't really have any visitors other than that. And so that was a huge blessing that we got to do in those first 4 months before that kind of slowed down. After that, my main goal of going overseas was actually to study the language. So we can pull the next picture up. So this is a picture of a ruin that we visited. I don't know if you can kind of see, but that's kind of the language. It's similar to Hebrew. You write from right to left, which was always kind of difficult for me because I'd always want to start on the left and go right, but that was always wrong. But it was something that I got to learn pretty quickly, and I find the language to be very beautiful. It's a very like cursive and beautiful, and so. I would have school every morning, and I'd go to school. We would do a full class, essentially in Arabic. They would talk to me in Arabic, and we would learn in Arabic. And so I'd always come home just dead tired after that. My brain would just feel like mush, because it's like I was thinking in a second language, and I wasn't always correct, like how I was speaking it. And so that was sometimes very frustrating when I wanted to kind of just be able to say what I wanted to say, but I couldn't. You know, and I would just say just some simple thing that a child might say, you know. And so as time went on, being able to speak more and more and more was just such a huge blessing, not only in ministry, but also just for myself, you know, confidence-wise. I found the best way for me to learn was to just go out on the street and just in my daily life, getting groceries or going to the markets or something like that, just speaking with people, and that was just such a huge... it was difficult because sometimes you'd make mistakes in the language, but at the same time, it was helpful for my language to grow. And that was kind of the idea of why I wanted to be there, because I wanted to learn the language, be surrounded by the people, and just fall in love with the culture, because I just feel like God had put that on my heart to do that. We can go to the next picture. I want to show a bit of food, because as Mennonites, we love food. We love food. And I love food. And they love food. So I felt like they was just... perfect. And so this is, you can see, we'd put like a, this wasn't every time, like in the big city, we'd often sit on a table and we would eat, sometimes with cutlery. But when we'd go out into the towns and we would have like a very traditional lunch or supper, we would put like a little plastic thing on the ground and then we would sit around this big platter made by one of the women and we would sit and we would eat with our hands, not our left hand because that would be dirty, with our right hand. The left hand was actually for wiping. The right hand was for eating, just so you guys know. This next picture is a picture of us, and we were sitting, we're eating, and this is one of my good friends that invited me over, and we would eat with our hands, and that's about it. We wouldn't have any other, with this, they wanted to be nice to us Westerners, so they gave us plates, but often what we'd do is we would just all take from the same platter and just start stuffing our faces. And that was always fun. And food is just a huge like cultural clue. Like everything happened around food. If you wanted to be with friends, you'd go for tea or you'd go and have some sort of food like that. There was always foods. And so one thing I learned really quickly was that often they would just come over without asking. And they would kind of, and I'd always have to have something ready, either tea or nuts or chocolate or something. So I learned very quickly to always have something in the cupboard so that I could serve them if they came over. And then I'd always serve them on a platter because he never wanted to touch the cups. He'd always serve it on a platter. Another thing I learned, when you're sitting on the floor, you never want to have the bottom of your foot facing towards them. That's very disrespectful to show the bottom of your foot. And so I learned very quickly how to sit down well. Otherwise, they'd be a little bit annoyed. And one thing I noticed was when you go into a restaurant, they'd often have multiple floors. And the first floor you'd always see was just the guys. Just the boys hanging out. And so then once you go up the next stairs, they would have the families and the ladies that the boys wouldn't annoy them. And so I thought that was very interesting how they did that. Some of the weaknesses that I guess I had was just the, again, like I said, the confidence, because often you would be wanting to say something or wanting to share this good news that you have, and yet you can only say three words, and that often can kind of hurt your confidence. And I felt very much like that verse, and I want to read it to you guys. I felt very much like this was kind of where I was at. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. I'll give a second for those that are translating. Okay, I'll go for it. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And for me, this was so big because, for the most part, I was 24/7 weak. I couldn't speak the language like some could, and I didn't know the Bible like some could, and in a lot of ways I would often ask God, like, why would you even send me here? Like, I can't even do anything. And I know that's not true, but I often felt that way. Like, why wouldn't you send somebody who knows Arabic better? Or why would you send somebody that can do this or that better? And I think this is, that verse kind of spoke to me and encouraged me, because he doesn't need me to know everything. He doesn't need me to be strong and always fully prepared. He just needs me to be obedient. And if I'm obedient, then he can use me. That's really it. If I'm willing to say yes and go to the places that he tells me to go, well, that's all I need to do. And that's going to be difficult, because often it's embarrassing, because we will make mistakes. But at the same time, it's what God has called us to. He's called us to lay down our rights, to be weak so that he can be strong. Because it's not our job to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God. And so if we coming into it thinking that we are strong, we want to glorify ourselves. But if we come into it thinking we are weak, but God is strong, we can glorify God. And I have lots of language mistakes that I can share with the... And sometimes I would say words that I probably shouldn't have said in Arabic, not knowing what I just said. And so often that was kind of the weaknesses of being overseas, was often that confidence level. I had often, that was kind of where I was very thankful for the prayer, because the prayer from you guys, the community, the prayer from my team, and the prayer just in my general prayer time was always that God would give me more confidence, because... yeah, it was sometimes difficult to go outside when I couldn't say everything I wanted to say. I think one of the biggest things that I want to share today is that the need in the Middle East is big. It is quite big. There's not many workers out there. You know, when we look at the verse, I'll go another verse, Luke 10, verses 2. Probably a lot of you will know this one. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." What I saw in Jordan, I guess I just said the country now, what I saw in the Middle East was that there's a lot of need there. There's a lot of people who are actually coming to Christ, but there's not a lot of workers who are willing to go out in the field. Because in this verse, it's not saying that we're supposed to go and resurrect the plants. He's just saying the plants are already ready to be harvested. We just want you to go out and do it, right? And I saw that a lot in the Middle East, was that there's people that are coming to Christ, but there's not many people that are there to help them. And our job was not to be the saviors of the country, but just to be there to lift them up, to raise leaders, to guide those who are looking for guidance. And so, church, I would love to encourage you guys today and ask you guys that we pray for our brothers and sisters out there, because there are also people that are believers, and it's difficult to be a believer in these countries when the country's 98-99% a different religion, 99% Islamic. And let us keep praying for more workers to go as well, because this is an area where I think there's not many workers, and that's what I can see. And in the country where I was in, there was actually quite a few in the big cities, but if you go to the small cities, there was zero, maybe one. And then you go to more countries that are a bit more harder to go to, you would maybe have one in the whole country or two in the whole country. So let's keep praying for workers to go. And also, we have a cool opportunity, because the need is now coming to us. What we've seen in the last few years with refugees all over the world coming to Canada, it's like an open door. I want to give an instance for Syria. Syria, before this whole war, was actually a very peaceful country, and it had a lot of good things that were happening. But for workers going into the country, it was a very dry and barren land, because Everywhere they would go, there was one, two, three spies watching them. Or people that they talked to would be spies. There was almost zero fruit in that country. And I'm not saying now that God created this war so that people would come to Christ, but I'm saying that God used the war for people to come to Christ. Because God can take things that are evil and turn them into good. And now what we've seen is that as people have been displaced, which is very sad, right? It's very sad as people displaced. We're also seeing that now they're coming straight to our doorsteps, making it a lot easier for us to share the gospel, isn't it? And so I think sometimes we can get caught up in all the politics of people coming into our country, and if we should let them in or if we shouldn't. And we can kind of get caught up in this idea, but the idea is actually as Christians, we should be the first ones to meet them at the airport and to show them around and to guide them, to help them learn the language, to be there for them when they need them, to bring a community to them because a lot of them are very lonely here, to be a ambassador for Christ to them. And so I want to encourage you, church, that there are a lot of refugees coming in, and maybe it's not just Syria now, maybe it's Ukraine, and who knows what it'll be in the future. And you know what? Someday, church, we might be the ones leaving our country. And I think we would love it if the other believers of the other country would then take us in. One of the biggest ways that people are coming to Christ there is actually through the internet. And the internet, so what would happen is a lot of people, they would be curious about Christ and curious about Jesus. And so they would go on the internet and try to find people that could kind of answer their questions. And often they would kind of take time to talk with them. And then after they kind of felt like these people weren't spies or these people were actually interested in learning the gospel, then they would find somebody in their region to work with them. And so I want to share a cool story that I got to be a part of. There was a man, a young man, and before he was born, his parents were told by the doctor to be a girl. And so they'd bought all the girl clothes and they'd prepared for a girl. And then his mother had a dream, and Jesus came to her and said, "You're going to have a boy, actually. And you're going to name him. I'm not going to say the name for security reasons." And she wakes up her husband and says, "I just had a dream that Jesus told me we're going to have a boy." And her husband's like, "That's crazy. The doctor said it's going to be a girl. Just go back to bed." The next night, he has a dream. And Jesus tells him, "You're going to have a boy. And you're going to name him this." And that boy was taught to be a Muslim. And his father was a sheikh. A sheikh is somebody who is part of, who like is kind of like a religious leader, like a pastor. And although the parents did not come to Christ, this young boy, when he was in his late 20s, got curious about Christ and went on this online program, got connected with my team leader, and they began to get together and do a Bible study. This man was hungry for Christ, and they prayed because he was living in a room with his brother, so he didn't have any free chances to read the Bible and to pray because his brother was always there. And he was kind of afraid because there's obviously some things that can happen if you're copying a Christian in that country. And so they prayed for their younger brother to also come to church. And on Christmas Eve service, they both came to church and both gave their lives to Christ. 6 months later, they got baptized in the same river that Jesus did. And I got to be a part of that. And I got to be a small, small part of that. And I think, where are we at for, what is the next picture? Oh yeah, so this was the place where they got baptized. You can go to the next picture as well. This was the exact river. This is the river, I'll call it. And it's a very small river. You've probably heard of it many times. And so we got to have an amazing time. And it wasn't just those two. It was actually eight people that decided to come to the Lord. And I wanted to talk about like this verse of God being strong in our weakness, because in a way, I didn't get to do much in helping him come to Christ because it was all God doing the work and it's all his glory, but God still used me to be a friend of his, you know? And I feel like sometimes we feel like in order to be a part of these movements that are happening, we have to be so spiritual and so all-knowing, but a lot of times we just need to be a friend and answer questions when they ask us questions and just be there for them. And I got a chance to do that. And then I met the younger brother and we became good friends. And I would often take him out to the mall and we would have pizza or something. And he'd ask questions sometimes about Jesus. And sometimes we would just chat about life and about sports and about things that we cared about. And although my apartment was small, it was just so cool to see that God can use these parts of me, because sometimes I'd go home and I'm thinking like, oh man, I definitely could have answered that question better. I don't know what I was saying, you know? At the same time, we can go into these things and always be like, oh man, I could have done this better, blah, blah, whatever. But God can still use our weaknesses, like I said before. And you never know, like, what may sound to you as being probably the stupidest thing you ever said, it might have been the exact thing he needed to hear. And so, when I share the story, it's often difficult because it's very easy to share the story and make it sound like it was humans that did this, but all glory be to God, because that was such a huge thing. And they're still very hungry, and they're sharing with their family, even though it's dangerous. And so we can keep them in prayer as well. We can go to the next picture. This is kind of and Jordan, we wouldn't really wear this kind of clothes, but this was actually, we went to Qatar for the World Cup, and we did a bit of ministry there. And this was a chance we got to sit and have some food. That first plate there with the yellow rice is actually camel meat. That was really good, camel meat. And so here's a picture of kind of the traditional wear that they would wear in Qatar. In the country I was in, they didn't really wear it that often. But in Qatar, it was a really cool opportunity because in where I was living, it was often a very slow life, you know, because it was a daily life. It was doing Arabic and then coming home and making supper, and then it would be studying or going out with friends or something and making connections. But I had this cool opportunity because I got to go 2 weeks and just strictly do ministry, and it was cool to have a bunch of young guys coming from Canada with just a passion, and then being able to work alongside that passion and also bring in some of the things that I had learned while also living over there, because a lot of them had never been there before. And as a team, we would often split up each day, and we would go, and our goal was not necessarily to go and say, like, we're going to go here, and we're going to preach this message here. Our goal was actually usually, we're going to do this and this, and let's see who we meet in the middle. Because I feel like often we think that ministry has to be me selecting one day of the week, and in that week I'm going to go do ministry, but actually, ministry is more a daily part of our lives. And what we'd often, and often one of the greatest days we had, where we were just sharing with people and being able to have make friends, was we were going out and we decided we're going to go for ice cream. And on the way to ice cream, we just met lots of people, and that was it. It wasn't like we said we're going to go here and do this and this and this. It was just, we're going to go get ice cream, let's see who we meet in the middle. And I'm a person that likes to go from A to B very quickly. I'm going to go get groceries, I'm going to go get groceries and come back. I'm not talking to anybody. And if I do, it won't be very long. Like, I'm going to do A and B. But I wonder sometimes how often has it that I could just take my time going from A to B, open for people to come and ask me about Jesus. If I were to go to the grocery store, walking a bit slower, not running, to get my milk and then run back home, but to walk and allow for people to talk to me and allow for myself to be opened up and just be there for people. And to see every part of my life as a ministry, because it doesn't have to be all, it can be, and there's huge blessings in being able to go out and do those things strictly doing ministry. But our ministry can also just be living in the moment, doing things that people love to do. You know, going to a soccer game. We were sitting watching soccer at the World Cup, and then one of the guys beside me was sitting beside two guys from a different country, and they were chatting about religion as they watched the soccer game. As we all enjoyed soccer, we also got to talk about other things. Let's go to the next picture. Here's a picture of me wearing the traditional garb, and I got to hold a falcon here. We were invited to a place, and it was all just the Qatari people, which was so sweet, because during the World Cup, it was mostly just foreigners there coming for the games, and so we didn't get to see many of the local people, and so being able to be there, and we dressed up a little bit, and they loved it. They would always come and fix the drop of my head, and always they'd laugh a little bit and be like, I like it. And so I wasn't sure how that would go, but they seemed to really enjoy it. And so I think there's another picture yet. So here, and also one of the things we did was we would go, and we would just go to the beach, and we'd play soccer with all of them and just make connections that way and just be a salt and light. And it wasn't like we always had to bring in Jesus into everything. It was just that we could show Jesus by being good friends, by how we lived, by how we acted, by how we treated other people. That was also a way of doing ministry. And so I want to encourage you, church, as we go forward, to change our perspective of ministry having to be go here, do this, but actually being a part of our life daily and being open to that fact that we can meet people on the way to the grocery store or at a soccer game and just being open to that. Because I mean, we can take our time, but are we ready? Are we willing that if someone were to come to us and ask us, "Hey, why are you so happy? Why do you have joy in your life and I don't?" Are we ready to answer that question? Do we have an answer for that? Because we can walk to the grocery store slowly. Yeah, that's very easy to do. But are we ready to say, "No, I have an answer for you"? And sometimes that answer is, "I don't know." That's sometimes good enough too, because we don't know, right? We're all in this together, learning. This is something that I'm still working on, this idea of having ministry kind of just in my life in general. You can probably go through the next three pictures. You're just kind of pictures of this is me and my family going to do some traveling. Go to the next one, doing some exploring. One more, I think there is. And yeah, just another nice picture of that I put there. I think for me, I often like to think of things as like, am I professional enough to do this, right? If my car breaks down, then I'll probably go ask my dad, or I'll probably go and do some things. But at the same time, like, if it was God looking for professional people who are perfect, he would never use any of us, right? It's a thing that God's actually using imperfect people, the people that don't know what they're doing. And I think sometimes, even just in the general things in life, I'll often shy away because I don't want to do this. I think he knows better how to do that. And sometimes I would be like, I don't want to speak Arabic because this guy can speak better Arabic. So let him speak, you know? And yet at the same time, if that's how God operated, we would never be used. But God has he likes to use us in our weaknesses, and often he chooses the weakest people in the room to lead, because in that way he can be glorified, right? And so church, today I want to just ask you guys, are there places where you're kind of straying away or backing up because, oh, I can't do that. I'm not good enough for that, or I don't actually know the Bible that well, you know, I can't pray because my words kind of jumble, and well, you know, I just don't want to do it, you know, it can be like that. But I want to encourage you and challenge you this week and in the coming weeks to actually do the things that you're scared to do, and do the things that maybe the next person could do better than you, because it doesn't matter if they can do better than you. If God called you to do that, then let's do that. Let's walk in obedience together as a church, walk in obedience together as a community, walk in obedience together as Christians. And so I want to, just want to thank you guys for letting me do this report. I'm so thankful to be back and to see all of you guys again. And I'm looking forward to, being back and getting to do some things with you again. So thank you.